Tom Weber on NPR News. Minnesota's Public Utilities Commission rejected a crucial environmental review yesterday for the Enbridge Line 3 pipeline project across northern Minnesota. The commission said it wanted the state to rework three relatively minor parts of the review, which means that while there could be some delays, this is not a death knell for the project. The project would build a new pipeline called Line 3 to replace a current Line 3 that is aging. Native American tribes who have treaty rights along the path oppose the project, along with environmental groups who fear the ramifications of any future spill of oil. Supporters, though, say the new pipeline would be less of a risk for spills than the current one. But let's back up for a minute. We have an opportunity for a completely different perspective on this project. This pipeline would carry oil from the tar sands of Alberta, Canada, which themselves are a target for environmental groups. However, the environment minister for the province of Alberta says people should also factor in her agency's work on climate change when evaluating those tar sands. That minister is Shannon Phillips, who spoke yesterday at an event at the University of Minnesota and joins me now. Hello.
Hi, Tom.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
We should clarify for our audience that you're a member of the provincial government, not the federal government, so you're more like a state official like we would think here. In the U.S. And Alberta is the province that provides a lion's share of oil and gas production for Canada. But what you do in Alberta courses through the pipelines here in Minnesota. I think actually all of the gas that we use in Minnesota came from Alberta. So what should we know about what's happening up there that we might not know here in Minnesota?
Sure. I mean, you know, with any energy infrastructure project like a pipeline or other transportation projects, there are questions about them. What I'm here to do in Minnesota is answer questions about the people and the policies at the other end of the pipeline that guide what is going into that pipeline. Now, in the past, there have been lots of questions about Alberta and Canada's inaction on climate change. And when we were elected in 2015, we took that issue on head on. And as a result, we now have the most ambitious climate plan, I would argue, on the continent, including California. California's got a few other things going on than we do, mm-hmm. but, you know, we have a full suite of climate policies. The oil that is in that pipeline is subject to a carbon tax. It is subject to, you know, high environmental standards outside of greenhouse gas emissions as well. You know, we're really proud of that. And we want to talk to our neighbors about climate leadership because we think that as an energy producer, we have that responsibility.
So, and traditionally in Alberta, for people who don't know the history, there has been a more conservative government in Alberta. And your party, the New Democrats, came into power at the provincial level back in 2015, as you're referring to. You know, the word tar sands just kind of hits the ear weird, too. Tar sands. What has changed about the way the oil is extracted that may allay concerns people have here in Minnesota?
Well, one of the big things we did was we passed a law that caps oil sands emissions. So we're the only energy producing jurisdiction in the world that has such a law on the books. So in this manner, production can increase, but emissions may not, up to the cap. And so, and companies must take action to reduce their emissions per barrel if they want to stay under the cap and continue to produce. So that is a really big piece in terms of driving investment in clean tech and innovation, driving the carbon out of the barrel, and making sure that we are as responsible a producer as possible.
And so you draw the line then to the debates being had here in Minnesota about whether to build this new pipeline, how?
Well, you know, people do have, in pipeline debates, people do have questions about the effect on greenhouse gas emissions and the overall conversation around climate change. And we think that those debates are real because climate change is urgent, mm-hmm. serious, and we need to take substantive action. It can't be a public relations exercise. That's the approach that our government has taken, and so that's why we've capped oil sands emissions. It's why we have a carbon tax on the extraction of those resources. I might add a carbon tax that was supported by the oil companies. And we also have an economy-wide carbon tax that we reinvest in things like renewables, efficiency, clean tech. Our approach is, you know, yeah, let's talk about what's in that pipeline. Let's mm-hmm. talk about the people, the working people at the other end of that pipeline and the responsible producer that is ultimately putting gas in the tank for Minnesotans to drive down their road.
So that that then, in your estimation, is an argument for why this pipeline here in Minnesota should be built?
Well, it's a piece of it, right? When mm-hmm. when you look at the concerns that people have around pipelines, the effect on greenhouse gas emissions is part of those concerns. Mm-hmm. We have these debates in Canada as well. We have them in Alberta and British Columbia and Ontario about energy infrastructure. And it is the case that you can't you won't be able to build large energy infrastructure projects anymore without having these substantive conversations mm-hmm. with communities. We think that's fair. We think it's fair for Minnesotans to have questions, and we think it's fair that they get answers. The same as that's what Albertans expect. That's what Canadians expect as well. And so that's why we've taken the approach that, the public does deserve answers on climate leadership, and we've given it to them.
You know, and you probably know this, but Alberta, you know, rightly or wrongly, has had this image as being the Wild West. I mean, it's literally in the west of the country, but it's the Wild West. And boy, the oil coming out of the sands there is just as mucky and bad as from anywhere else. And so, you know, we should really be hesitant of that. Are you here to say that you're polishing the image, that is no longer an accurate reference point?
We're more than polishing the image. We are changing the facts on the ground with the Climate Leadership Plan. And we've done that through a variety of different measures, as I've described, including pricing carbon in a way that drives innovation, that drives emissions reductions. The framework that we just unveiled for our oil sands companies and other large industry, for example, just a couple of days ago, is going to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 20 megatons by 2020. Mm-hmm. That's equivalent to all of the emissions in the province of Manitoba. So we, you know, this is not a public relations exercise, right? And we have taken the position that climate change is real and urgent and serious. And so energy producers have to grapple with that. And if they're not policy makers in this conversation, then energy producers like Alberta are going to become policy takers at some point, because the world is moving on with action on climate change. The other thing I'll say is this. Prime Minister of Canada approved Line 3 a little over a year ago in Canada. And
the
Canadian portion. Prime Minister Trudeau is very popular, I'm sure, but he can't approve pipelines in the
US.
United States.
No. It was that group that wanted him to run for president, but that's a different conversation.
And when he gave that approval, he explicitly said, this approval is coming because of Alberta's climate leadership plan. Because we have these conversations in Canada as well. Mm-hmm. And that was really, really meaningful to us, because what it showed was that, we can even have a better conversation with our fellow provinces about who we are and what we do. And, you know, a couple of years ago, President Obama rejected Keystone XL. And he said, in part, it was because of Alberta and Canada's lack of action on climate change. We released our climate action plan. And a few months later, President Obama gave his last speech on the floor of the Canadian House of Commons. And in that speech, he held up Alberta's climate plan as an example of how to get things done, how to prove them all wrong. And he said, you know, if Alberta can do it in the heart of oil country, then we can all do it.
So how did you do that in terms of the fact that Alberta's government, you know, the funding you get, the revenue you get, is mostly from the oil and gas industry? I mean, Alberta doesn't have a sales tax, which is because you get all this revenue from oil and gas. And I think there's a comparison to be made, for example, to Alaska, because the people of Alaska actually get a check every year because of how that's set up there in Alaska. That just seems like a real sticky wicket there to navigate if you're representing a government that gets its funding from revenue from these industries. In the U.S., it seems like that fact has been a roadblock to getting to what you're talking about.
Well, maybe, but a couple of things there. We have taken an active interest in diversifying the economy. Part of diversification is being open to new clean tech, renewable and efficiency investments and opportunities. There's lots of opportunities for American firms to make those investments in Canada as well. And so there's that piece. The other piece is, of course, we're an energy producing jurisdiction. And of course, we do derive royalty revenue, fewer royalty revenues than in the last couple of years due to the collapse in the price of oil. But that's precisely why you have to take energy leadership, because climate change is real. You want to be that jurisdiction that is leading the conversation, not following. And how this is relevant to Minnesotans? Well, that's the oil that goes in your gas tank. Yeah. And if it doesn't come from us, it's going to come from somewhere else. It's going to come from Saudi Arabia or Venezuela. The world does need oil and gas for some time. We know that, mm-hmm. that the economy is transitioning. And that's another piece that Alberta has to position itself for. And we don't want to be followers in that transition mm-hmm. either. But if you're going to be putting gas in your tank in the state of Minnesota to drive down the road, it might as well come from a jurisdiction where carbon is priced, where they're driving towards pulling the carbon out of the barrel, and where there's a whole bunch of other social goods happening on the ground that are not happening in places like Saudi Arabia or Venezuela, right?
Shannon Phillips is with me, the environment minister for the province of Alberta, who's in town. She was at the U yesterday speaking at an event here. So we've talked about how the gas at the other end of the pipeline is subject to this climate plan that you're talking about. Here in Minnesota, and yes, I'm going to ask you to wade into the debate a little bit as much as you want, because the debate is not just that, although that is part of it. It is also about treaty rights for Native Americans, Indigenous people here, that this pipeline goes through Indigenous treaty right lands. There's also just the concern of a spill. And I know, for example, on the Indigenous rights, that at the federal level in Canada, Justin Trudeau has made Indigenous engagement and Indigenous rights a very important focus of his government. I don't know how that translates down to the Alberta provincial government, but how do you address those concerns as well? Because we're definitely having that debate here in Minnesota about Native American treaty rights.
Well, certainly our government also has endorsed the principles of the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. We have made commitments to renewing our relationship with our Indigenous populations, both First Nations and Métis in Alberta. There is no question that that Indigenous communities have questions about energy infrastructure projects, just as landowners and others do. There is also no question that, in my view, Indigenous peoples deserve to be engaged as nations. They deserve to have a robust consultation process. That's what they get in Canada. We have pipeline projects such as there's an expansion project going through British Columbia where there are impact benefit agreements for the Indigenous nations all along the route. And I believe, and our government believes, that Indigenous peoples deserve to derive a substantive economic and jobs benefit from any of the investments that are made in and around their communities. And that's been our approach. Justin Trudeau has taken on the issue of Indigenous rights, but at the level of the province, that's where a lot of the rubber meets the road. Our renewed relationship has resulted in things like community-based monitoring in the oil sands for that are Indigenous peoples on the ground. It has resulted in co-management of Alberta Parks, which is not something that ever happened before, but is now in my ministry. It has resulted in Indigenous equity participation up in the oil sands and working with companies like Suncor. It's resulted in we've taken a portion of our carbon tax and reinvesting it back into Indigenous climate leadership initiatives at the community level that are putting people to work. They're retrofitting buildings. They're doing solar job training, all of it. And in fact, we're spending more of those funds in Alberta than the federal government is investing in the rest of the country mm-hmm. combined. We take this stuff really seriously. And if there are any Indigenous folks listening, my message to you would be absolutely yes, you deserve to have access to the same jobs and good quality of life that everyone else does. And that includes participation in processes. It includes making sure that you have a seat at the table. At the same time, energy projects do bring good jobs. And many of those pipeline safety and other concerns can be
mitigated, and communities can derive economic benefit. And I know that in Alberta and elsewhere in Canada, Indigenous nations are really open to those partnerships, and they've been positive for them.
And as you know, there are still going to be people, no matter what, and it's you know, a valid concern that no matter what, no matter how safely you build the pipeline, the chance is there for a spill. You have pristine waters here in northern Minnesota, and you know, if the spill happens, and they would argue when the spill happens, you know, that's a catastrophe waiting to happen.
Well, the first thing I would say is that I'll take a new pipeline over an old pipeline any day, in terms of its safety, the leak detection technology, the type of wall coating that the proponent is using. All of those things have improved substantially, and in particular in the last couple of decades. So that's the first thing I'll say about pipeline safety. Alberta's also investing quite a bit in pipeline safety and in research technology and commercialization of said technology. And we know that, you know, through the use of big data and other techniques that we can monitor and even anticipate when leaks may happen. There's a number of companies that are now selling that technology to Canadian pipeline companies. So things have moved along a lot in that respect. We have pristine waters, too. And we have those concerns, too. We've have lots of Albertans have lots of landowners that have a number of pipelines crisscrossing underneath their feet. You know, we've got an extensive pipeline network that, you know, is rivaled really only by Texas in Alberta. And so we've also taken on those concerns, tried to, as a government, ensure that we keep funding a lot of that research and technology and moving it into the market so that we can grapple with some of these issues, because they're fair concerns, but there is also a number of substantive, more than fair and robust answers to those concerns. And it is our hope that the people will be open to hearing those answers.
Shannon Phillips is the Environment Minister for the province of Alberta in town here. She was at an event at the U yesterday. Did you get in any roller derby?
No, everybody wants to talk about roller derby. No, I haven't played in a long time because this job ate my life.
Your name was Noam Stomsky.
It was.
That's amazing.
It still is.
Well, yeah, if you ever go back.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's a great team here, the Minnesota Roller Girls. So
yes, I know.
Come on back. And
oh, I would love to have some time to come and watch. They're fantastic.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.